Let us stand this morning and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, for the public reading of God's word here this morning. Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 4 to verse 13. Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither say they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwell. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? That they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass through the isle of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not yet gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's number one, the fountain of living waters, and number two, hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. We're going to entitle this reading, God's People Commit Two Evils, something to that effect. Well, notice in verse 4, where we began here, that Jeremiah, though primarily was ministering to the two last tribes left out of the 12, because some 100 plus years earlier, the Assyrians had already taken away the 10 northern tribes and have dispersed them across the Assyrian Empire at that time. All right? And yet, in verses 4, he still addresses the house of Israel collectively. So even though the people to the north were left impoverished and destitute by the Assyrians, but in the course of time, the Assyrian Empire fell to the Babylonian Empire, and so now King Nebuchadnezzar is the big boss in town. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to invade the southern tribes three times, 606, 589, and 586 BC, respectively. The thing that really ought to grip your heart is verses 6, in verse 5. Notice verse 6 in verse 8, verses 6 and 8. Neither say they, this is being addressed now to God's covenant people. Notice what the people are no longer asking and no longer inquiring. Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through, and where no man dwell? Where is the God of the Exodus? Where is the God of those mighty signs and wonders that were displayed in the land of Egypt that eventually forced Pharaoh's hand in letting the people go? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is the God who made all these covenantal relationships with our forefathers? Where is he? Where is he? And then in verse 8, the ones who were to handle the word of God on behalf of God's people, the priests say no longer comes out of their lips, "Where is the Lord? Where is he?" Probably they're considering their 10 northern tribe neighbors to the north and the Assyrian desolation that was left behind. And now Nebuchadnezzar is nipping at the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. He has them on his plate. He has them looking to pacify his next dinner meal in booty and in spoil and in slaves. Where is he? And maybe today, on the way things are going in our country and around the world, I would imagine that there are some people today who look at the news or look at the reports that are on the internet or on social media, and all of us can look up into the heavens and say, "Where is the Lord? Where's the Lord that divided the Red Sea? Where is the Lord that caused the sun and the moon to stand still in the days of Joshua? Where is the Lord that answered by fire on Mount Carmel and lapped up the offering that was offered by Elijah in front of all the people who were wavering between God the Almighty or Baal? Where is the God that walked on water? Where is the God that walked out of his tomb? Where is he? He doesn't seem to be in control. Where is he?" And then God answers back in that verses 5. "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and have become vain?" Notice God chimes right back with his questions. What have I done? What have I done wrong? Or what have I not done? And then notice verse 7. Notice how God answers his own question in verse 5. "I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled the land." Not me, you. "And you made my heritage an abomination." Verse 8. "They that handled the law knew me not. The pastors transgress against me, and the prophets are gone after Baal." And so in essence, what God here is telling the nation, versus you asking, "Where is the Lord?" you ought to be asking, "What have you done? What have you done to my heritage? You have polluted it. You have defiled it. You have taken all the goodness that I've given you," verse 7, "and your priests do not know me, the pastors transgress against me, and your prophets seek after Baal." So, again, versus you and I saying, even in today's context, in the light of all the misery we see being played out today by our elected officials, versus you and I saying, "Where's God?" the next question is, what have we done as a people against God to even invoke his judgment and his displeasure? "Wherefore," verse 9, "I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." And he says, "Go forth, go amongst the nations, okay, and see if you have found anything that comes up to this level." Verse 11, "Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." And that's the same problem today. Those who claim to be Christians, my dear friends, they have taken the blessings of the Most High and they have perverted it. They have sought out other gods, other fantasies, other substitutes to tickle their ears. And these substitutes that they are now flocking for will give them no profit and no advantage. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. And now we come to the climax, verse 13. Two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me. And by and large, in this country, in the United States, professing Christianity. And I make a marked distinction between those who profess to be Christians and those who are really possessed of Christ. All right, there's a marked difference. One's going to hell, the other's going to heaven. Simple as that. If that offends, get offended. By and large, in this country, the professing mainline Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, and all the branches that split off from the Protestant Reformation, by and large, mainline professing American Christianity has turned its back on God. But when you do that, you create a vacuum. And something got to fill the vacuum, and the vacuum is the second evil. They have sought out other dainties and other substitutes for God. And just like the ancient people would make these cisterns where they would take clay, beaten clay, and just think of a big basin, think of a big cereal bowl, if you will, beaten into the ground with a very solid, hard base, so that when it did rain, the rain would collect in pond, and that became either drinking water or water for livestock. But what would happen if a crack formed in the bottom of the cistern? All the rainwater would collect and go right down the drain, in a manner of speaking. And that is what American phony Christianity has done. They have chosen to replace God and His Bible with different gods, different Bibles that are like cracks in the cistern. When they get thirsty and they go to the cistern, they find nothing to quench their appetite. And so when you deny God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you seek out other substitutes, you're just like a drunk when he goes back to his bottle for another swig, and he tips the bottle up, he looks into a glass tube of emptiness and no satisfaction. Beware, my beloved friends. Do not forget God. May God choose to bless His word.